Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Joining us now is our friend Chris Mason. C-Maze's segment is brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. C-Maze, appreciate you for joining us. Want to get your thoughts, what you saw with that Kaprizov hit last night. I thought it was dirty, and I'm shocked. I was shocked that it was not called for a major. What'd you see there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's a dirty hit. I mean, the puck is by Carey, but he never, ever has possession of it. It goes by him, and he continues. You know, he was running at him from the middle of the defensive zone, and he followed all the way through on his hit. It was a major cheap shot. And, you know, we talked about it a bit on the broadcast, you know, at the referee's discretion, and they have options where they can make sure that they get that right. I'll have to, you know, look more into it. I'm not sure if the NHL is going to look at it now, but, you know, you have the option, I believe, to call a major penalty and then go back and look at it and then downgrade it to a minor if you just deem it was interference like they'd call. But, I mean, you know, a play like that, try to take it out of football, out of hockey, you don't want to see guys get hurt. You know, if it's a hockey play and, you know, a guy gets hurt, you live with it. That is sports. But when it's a play like that, you know, and he, you know, someone has to leave the game. And then the worst part is Kaprizov scores a couple minutes after he got out of the box for a 2-minute minor. So it's tough. It's tough to see that.
It was tough to watch Alexander Carrier try to skate off the ice last night. It was a tough one, and it's a frustrating to see. It was also kind of frustrating for me to see the lack of energy that I felt like the Predators played with last night. I always say that it looked like they were skating through peanut butter last night. Andrew Brunette said it looked like they were kind of sleepwalking. What do you think that is? I mean, the Preds were just on a 6-game winning streak. They were feeling it. I felt like things were clicking. One loss doesn't completely change things, but what did you see from that perspective, just where that lack of energy maybe came from?
Yeah, they've had a tough schedule, but they've been at home. I think sometimes, and I know this as a player, when you have the level, you play the level of competition that the Predators have lately, Colorado's, the Calgary's, the Pittsburgh's, you know, you name it, you know, St. Louis is going to be tough in St. Louis. There's a different level of preparation and maybe, I wouldn't say fear, but a level of readiness, because you know if you're not ready when you play those opponents, you know, bad things are going to happen. And if you're not ready, you could lose that hockey game in the first 10 minutes of a game. And then there's a dip when you play a team like Minnesota. You're like, oh man, they got the last power play in the league. They're really struggling. Even though you say, hey guys, these guys are going to be jacked up. They just got a new coach. Everybody, a lot of guys in the room know how that goes. In the back of your mind, I still feel like you think what's not going to be as tough as when you played Pittsburgh and you got Crosby and Malkin and all that kind of stuff going on. And once you get into that game, I just feel like they look like they're skating in quicksand. And Minnesota, I think, was the exact opposite. They've got that jump. They've got something to prove. They want to prove to their coach that they're the guy that, you know, should be out there in those situations. And it was evident. And I think it was a combination of the scale going the opposite way for both teams, and the Preds just could never get it going. And we kind of saw that. I felt a little bit like that. Willie and I were talking about in the Pittsburgh game. It was that kind of a game, and Pittsburgh, you know, wasn't necessarily, you know, the fastest team in terms of the way that they were playing the game, but the Preds didn't look quite as fast as they had. They still managed to win the game, and I think, you know, you're seeing a team that, you know, six wins is good. You know, it's not, they're not a 6 out of 7 win hockey team. They're probably somewhere in between. And eventually, you know, you're going to have that downswing. And I think we saw that against the Wild.
Yes, he may. The team just didn't, you know, it just wasn't their night last night. And to add insult to injury, you know, the hit on Carrier was uncalled for, and hopefully the league does something about it, because they sure enough didn't do it last night. With that being said, who do you expect for them to bring up now that Carrier may be down for a few days?
Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, my initial thought would be Spencer Stastny, just because, you know, he got sent down just because it's a numbers game right now. Luke Shen coming back, and they obviously have every single one of their guys had been playing really well, and they're all NHL defensemen. So it was no indication of the way Stastny was going down. He's able, it doesn't have to clear waivers, so it's an easy move for them to make. If they want, you know, depth on defense, he's the guy. You know, for me, they got a lot of games coming up this next 2 weeks. I think four games every week, which is a lot of hockey. Shen's just coming back. He's probably not up to, you know, full 100% speed in terms of his conditioning and, you know, the ability to play the 15 to whatever minutes he needs to play. So I would expect Spencer Stastny. Liam Foudy will obviously go back in next game if they don't decide to do 7D, which I don't think that they will. Brunette said he doesn't want to make a habit of doing that. He's just trying to get, you know, Fabro back in, Shen back in, get him going. So it'll be interesting to see what they do lineup-wise. But if they're calling up a D, to me, it's got to be Spencer Stastny.
Now, with that being said, they got two back-to-backs this weekend, C-Mace. Should the Predators let UC get a rest? Last night was just it wasn't good for him. And obviously he's been the primary guy in the net, but you have two back-to-backs. Should Lankinen, do you expect at least Lankinen to get one of those? I expect he should, but if not one, should he get both?
And then which one? Yeah, that's the other decision.
Well, that's the one. I wish I had a crystal ball for that. I do expect with 100%, I shouldn't say 100% certainty, because Mitch Corn, the old goalie coach, he said the only thing for certain is nothing is for certain. So, but I would expect there's a great probability that Lankinen for sure will get a game. And you're right, I don't know what it'll be. It was tough to see, you know, Juice. He's every time he seems like he's getting to that level, like he's back. There's a game like that, and you know, some of it's bad luck, and some of it's just he's not at that level that we've all seen where he goes in there and it really doesn't matter what the other team does. Like, they're going to get one goal max, and they know it, and everybody in the building knows it. When he's at that level, he can, you know, get to that elite of a level where it's just it's complete domination, and he hasn't quite got there. And you know, a lot of it is the product around him was a big factor last night. They weren't good, they were slow, but again, he's capable of winning those games single-handedly, and this weekend will be very interesting. So as a starting goaltender, do you say, hey, just you know take the next game off? But as a goalie, you know, if you're UC Soros, he wants to play the next game. Mm-hmm. So he wants to be in net Saturday, and then you would go with, you know, Lankinen the next day in Buffalo. So that's kind of what I would expect to happen. Whether we do that or not, I don't know, you know, Brunette's tendencies in regard to, you know, how he likes to work the goaltenders. I know Lankinen will get some time. He's earned that. He certainly deserves to get more playing time. But you got to make sure, first and foremost, you know, you're doing the right thing to get Juice's mind right and get him, you know, back to the level that everybody knows that he can get to.
Chris Mason is with us, and May's looking ahead, too. They've got a couple of back-to-backs coming up, and they continue to play basically every other night. So you figure Lankinen's going to be a part of this equation a lot, no matter how you slice it, and this is where the value of a backup goalie comes into play. There are some teams that don't feel great about their backup goalie, but if you wanted to make the argument, Lankinen, his last three starts have been afternoon starts, which tomorrow is, and he's played well in all three, including winning in Edmonton against the, you know, that they were down at the time, but obviously a very explosive offense and played really well in that game. So I can see them at least considering Lankinen tomorrow, given the extra day for Saros, and then coming back with Saros on Sunday.
No, there's going to be a conversation. There's no question, and that's one of the things that, you know, in today's NHL, there's a lot of communication even between, you know, goalie coach, goaltender, back to the coach to make these decisions to see how, you know, Juice feels. Sometimes they'll do that. Other times they'll just make the decision. I believe Saros was the one in net against the Rangers in New York.
Yes, played very well.
And he played very well, so that's also got to be taken into consideration. There's a lot of intangibles. You mentioned the afternoon games. That's certainly one that I know that they would look at. Home game versus road game, you know, record against Buffalo. You know, all these things I think are going to be considered. You know, I'm just speculating and guessing, but I would I would guess that Saros would play Saturday, but that's, again, that's a guess. And you got a deadly team coming in with the Rangers that are really off to an unbelievable start.
And if you think about it, and you love conversations about goalies in general, but the backup goalie, especially when you start to appreciate how many games are coming here and the workload of Saros and a guy like Hellebuck, it's been talked about a lot as the years have passed here, recently especially, there have been a lot of people that say you need to play your backup more than you did 20, 30 years ago. So the backup goalie can mean the difference of, let's just say, 5 to 7 points over 82 games, and that's obviously the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs in a lot of cases.
Exactly. A team like Nashville, that they're going to be fighting for, you know, a wild card spot. That's if they're going to get in, that's what they're going to have to do. And that's why it's tough to minimize that position to a backup, because that title, because when they play and they're in the net, those points, how many times do you see at the end of the season, it comes down to the last game of the year to get in or whatever the case may be. Those games that he plays have equal value of every game that Saros played. So, you know, he is a massive part of this team. Bubble teams that don't have a good backup goaltender and don't have a winning record or at least a .500 record really have no chance to get in the playoffs. And I think Lankinen, you know, he had that great rookie year in Chicago. Then they kind of went down the tubes there, in the tank there or whatever, and it was tough for any goaltender to have success there. And he reinvented himself when he came to Nashville and started working with Ben Vanderklok. And, you know, obviously the friendship and relationship he has with Saros has been beneficial to his success. And he's become one of the most reliable backup goaltenders, I think, could be a starting goaltender in this league. So he is going to play an absolute massive role for this team throughout the season.
That's something that nobody really discusses here, is Lankinen's in the last year of his contract. We always talk about, could they trade Askarov, or will they get calls about Saros? It would be interesting to see what happens with Lankinen as if he keeps playing the way he's played since he's been here, because I'm sure he aspires to be, he's only 28 years old, he aspires to be a starter in the league, just like a backup quarterback in the NFL would aspire to be. But before we let you go, Mace, I do want to say something. And look, I love Smashville. We were just commenting about, at the end of the game, there were still several thousand people there that were cheering when goal number 7 was wiped away for the overtime, for the offside challenge.
Woo-hoo!
I love that. That was great. They stayed all the way to the end, even though the game was well in hand at the time. But there were a cross-section of people that booed. Not a lot of people, but I could hear a few boos when they did the tribute video for John Hines, and I just don't get that. I just don't get it.
It kind of went sour, I think, the last couple years at the end, and you want somebody to blame, and unfortunately it was him, I think, and Cole Smith last year, which he didn't deserve, but you know how that goes, right? I think personally, you know, if you have those types of issues, just let it go and just, you know, clap. This is my opinion. Everybody's obviously entitled to do whatever they want, but
right. I didn't expect a huge standing ovation, emotional, like it was for Barry Trotz, right?
Yeah.
Most people did.
You don't have to cheer, but booing to me in that situation where I came in here, you know, left it all on the line, did everything he could, and quite honestly, a lot of it was, not in his control, to be honest with you. Tough to see that, especially we know him on a personal level and how much he cared and how much he put into it. And so that, you know, that kind of stung a little bit. But, hey, I mean, everyone's entitled to do whatever they want, but I didn't love that.
Last one for you, Mace. What do you make of the job that Andrew Burnett has done so far? We've seen a little bit of good, a little bit of bad, a little bit of really good, a little bit of really bad. So what is your evaluation of him and the system and how the team looks so far?
I think if I look at the big picture of it, I love the responsibility he's giving to his players. I think he's got really good communication with his leadership group that I think is doing a phenomenal job in molding a lot of these young players. You know, Phil Tomasino was just talking about how much he's learned from Ryan O'Reilly, how they're different players, but, you know, O'Reilly's a guy who's going to bring these guys along and work with them and, you know, teach a guy like Phil Tomasino, who's maybe in his career not been around the net as much because he's been able to have success other ways. And you're starting to see that in his play. And, you know, a lot of that has to do, I think, with, Burnett using his leadership group the right way. He's still getting to learn a lot of these players in these situations, and sometimes you don't know, everything you need to know when you're winning about, you win six games in a row, everyone's playing awesome. It's easy, right? So you need to kind of go through through the mud a little bit, I think, to find out what people are really made of. When somebody gets scratched, that's maybe not used to being scratched. How do they, respond, and how do they come to the rink every day? Are they going to, sulk, or are they going to come back and, with a chip on their shoulder, do the right things? And when they get back in the lineup, they're ready to go. And I think he's had a lot of success in that department with Evangelista, Trennan, Phil Tomasino, some of the defensemen, Dante Fabro, he's playing well. So I think there's still an evaluation process going on with him and the team, just like I think there is with this team. You mentioned all the stages and things we've seen. Mm-hmm. I don't think we quite know exactly what this team is or who they are. I think we've seen their identity. It's a very hardworking team. Whether they play, like last night, they were slow. They weren't good, mm-hmm. but it wasn't from a lack of effort. They're out there giving their all, and it wasn't good last night. It just didn't work. So I respect that. And I like when I'm watching a team and covering a team, you can live with those kind of games if the effort's there, even though it wasn't a good hockey game on their part. So I think a lot of that has to do with the coach as well. So I think so far he's done a really good job with this group.
Chris Mason, appreciate you as always. Thanks for joining us, Mace. We'll chat with you next week.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Chris Mason, he is the very best. We'll get your thoughts on this coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.